began so long ago with a band of Queen's Park men.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Spiders Talk podcast. It's David Blair, Enzo Tamarini and Callum Stewart back again as usual this week. 2 weeks in a row where, well, the tide maybe is turning for Queen's Park, where not a defeat as we've perhaps become accustomed to recently, but another draw at Hampden, a 2-2 draw against Partick Thistle. Really, Queen's Park are coming away from that though, thinking that really should have been taking 3 points. 2-2 does not tell the story of that game at all. So therefore, that's exactly what we're here to do. We'll, of course, recap that game. Not really too much else to talk about in terms of news around the club this week. It's been relatively quiet after maybe what felt like a couple of weeks of Twitter storms about Queen's Park, linking people to other places and things. So what we'll then do is go straight into this week's game. Another away trip. And this time we're off back to Somerset Park, one of the classic stadiums in the Championship, perhaps even Scottish football. A trip to Ayr United this weekend. Callum and Enzo, how are we both doing on, as we're sitting here recording this on Halloween? Callum, you said you've got the curtains drawn, the lights off, you're hiding in darkness.
Well, yes, I have to. I don't want to get interrupted, and also I've not got many sweets kicking about my house right now, unfortunately. So, yes, but no, I'm feeling a lot better after that game at the weekend. I think it's probably the first time in a while that I've enjoyed a game, which sounds horrific, but it was actually entertaining to watch. I mean, massively frustrating that we didn't win it, but it was the first time in a good period of time where I felt, okay, I can actually see something progressing here, because even with the Airdrie game and the draw against Morton, they weren't the best performances, to be honest, whereas we totally dominated, albeit a very injury-struck Partick Thistle. We were much the better side, and just unfortunately we didn't get a reward for it. So yeah, I'm feeling a lot more positive than I have been the last few weeks anyway.
I think that's fair. Yeah, the main thing for me, by the way, just to go back, I live in a flat, so fortunately nobody's coming to my door looking for sweeties, and that's a good thing because I've absolutely none. And I've seen loads of kids going past and they've just been ignoring this building, which is ideal. But back to the stuff that matters here. I think that's the key thing, Callum. It's 2 weeks in a row where we've come away thinking we could have, potentially should have won the games, and it's 2 weeks in a row where we've seen a notable improvement in the performance. And this is probably... Some people are obviously still going to be frustrated because we haven't yet picked up a win, right? But the thing is, had this been the first couple of games of the season, you'd maybe be feeling a bit more positive about it. And I think we just need to, and the reason for that is obviously because we wouldn't have gone on that horrible run, and you'd have gone, okay, it's early doors, the team are getting used to each other, it's still this new style of football, new manager, blah, 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 all the rest of it. I think we need to kind of look at these past two games through that sort of perspective, and it makes you feel a wee bit better about it. And for the first time in a wee while, I'm actually really looking forward to the game this coming weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend. You definitely, against Partick Thistle, it was, I agree with you, Callum, 100%. Apart from maybe that first couple of minutes against Dundee United, it's definitely the most I've enjoyed a game of football in a long time for Queen's Park. It was a really dominant performance. I think we're going to look back on that one and really, I'm not going to say regret, but we're going to be frustrated that we didn't take the 3 points there. Yeah. Shall we just get right into it? Let's get into it, because there are a few talking points in the game. Starting with the starting 11 for Queen's Park. So it was Callum Ferry in goals. You then had Louis Longridge going back to right back in place of Ben McPherson, who put in a man of the match performance the week before against Airdrie. So a very, very surprising decision, especially with the way the game turned out. I know a few of us in the stands thought that perhaps that was maybe like more of a defensive-minded lineup choice, but it wasn't really needed and it could have been changed during the game. But anyway, you did have Longridge at right back. You then had Lewis Reed starting in place of Will Tizard. Obviously, that substitution was made in the Airdrie game. Reed kept that starting place. He was alongside Alex Bannon at centre back with Tommy Robson at left back. The three Jacks, Spong, Thompson, and Turner in midfield. And the front three of Dom Thomas, Rudy Payton, and Patrick Jarrett getting a rare start. I don't know when the last time was he got a start as well. So, as I say, first things first, the McPherson for Longridge swap. What did you guys, Enzo, you first, what did you make of that?
It surprised me. It makes you wonder whether maybe there's a reason for it that we're not aware of. I don't know if maybe he's picked up a knock or something like that. The fact that he didn't come on at all, especially given the way the game was going, where we were putting him under so much pressure, you'd because it's probably fair to say that. So McPherson had a great game against Airdrie, absolutely no doubt about that. But it's probably fair to suggest that defensively, he still has his moments, but he looks pretty solid going forward. And against Thistle, where we were going forward a lot, I feel as though it would have made sense to bring him on, which makes me wonder if there's maybe something that we're not aware of behind the scenes, and that's why he hasn't made an appearance at all. But I was definitely surprised to see that when the lineup came out.
I was surprised that we didn't see McPherson at all in that game, to be honest, because Longridge was absolutely done in by the end of the game. Obviously, Mocking came on for his debut, which is great, but you would have kind of assumed that McPherson would have been the natural replacement there. So I'm guessing that there was some sort of injury or reason that he didn't play. But yeah, there was lots of interesting lineup changes on that. I mean, if we just keep going along the defence, Bannon and Reid starting, what did you think about that? I thought it was... I mean, it is a bold decision, but it's kind of born out of, I think, necessity at this point. Both Fox and Tizard have unfortunately not fared the best recently, and it's kind of left an opportunity for both of them. And I thought, honestly, I was so, so impressed with the two of them.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, we said it last week when Reid came on. I mean, he played 50 minutes against Airdrie, and he did nothing to demand him being taken out of the lineup for this week. We were all pretty happy with him starting this weekend against Partick Thistle, and he proved us right. I mean, he had an excellent game. Okay, yes, Queen's Park conceded two goals, but once we finish talking about the lineup, we'll talk about the fact that he should have had his first goal and his first start after like with less than 3 minutes on the clock. So no, he had a great game again, and he is very much, as you say, with Fox and Tizard perhaps out of form, out of sorts, and whatever else is going on, he's absolutely thrown his name into the hat for starting going forward.
I think saying that he's thrown his name into the hat is a bit of an understatement. Anything other than the two of them starting at least against there, and then we'll see how that goes going forward, because we talked about this before, that the key thing for that defence, I think, at this point is finding a bit of consistency and sticking with it, and that's the only way we're going to see improvements at the back. And I think it was maybe you that made this point to me at the game, Callum. You've got two guys there who we've been chopping and changing a lot, right? And there's guys who maybe haven't played, at least in real games, that much together. But you'd imagine that Reid and Bannon, they must know each other well. They played for Young QP. They've played for various levels of the youth team together. Out of all the options that we have, they're probably the most experienced in terms of playing with each other, pairing that we have available to us right now.
Yeah. And I really liked the way that they played. Reid seemed a bit more of a, and I don't mean this in a bad sense, but like a traditional centre-back in terms of his defensive responsibilities coming first, which I think, frankly, is what we need right now. We need someone that's going to be a wee bit more solid there. But I also liked the way that they'd set up, and whether this was a tactical change from Veldman, I'm not sure, but it seemed to be basically whenever Reid got the ball, Bannon was trying to make space, get the ball to Bannon, and then Bannon was pinging it out wide to either wing, often to Dom Thomas. And it was so, so effective. And it just bought us so much more time, because we've been playing out the back before. We've always been trying to go through the middle of the park and then take it out wide. But invariably, guys were getting caught in the middle of the park, were pushed high, and then that's leading to opportunities for the opposition team. Whereas having Bannon just ping them about, he was absolutely fantastic. And he was catching Dom Thomas particularly so many times throughout that game.
Yeah, it was a really solid performance by him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I totally agree. That I think that the point that you make about Reid being more of an outright defender is a really good one, and it's something that we've maybe lacked a wee bit this season, and that's something that we had last year with Lico Day when he was fit, where we had him just to do the basics at the back and not focus too much on anything other than getting your job, you know, getting your job right as a centre half, and then passing the ball out calmly, and then the rest of the guys will work it from there. If Reid can fill that role, then I think that could be a bit of a difference maker for us for the rest of the season.
And he was like the first guy in about a century to get on the end of a cross and actually get a goal, which was duly or unfairly disallowed.
Possibly also worth mentioning, though, that the crosses, or the corners in particular, with Patrick Jarrett taking them, were considerably better.
miles better, right?
Yeah, they definitely.
It would have been difficult for them to get worse. No offense to Dom Thomas, but it's clearly not his strength, and we don't have many guys who can step up. But if that's part of the reason why Jarrett was drafted in, then it could potentially be really important. And do you keep a player in exclusively for that? Probably not. You probably teach somebody else how to take them a wee bit better, but you'd imagine that's something that we've been trying to and arguably failing to do for a while.
I mean, Jarrett still had a good game himself on the night.
Well, I agree.
He wasn't just limited to being the set piece taker, and that was it. He was just as involved as everybody else going forward. You know, the front three and the midfielders as well. You know, we created so many chances, so many half chances, so much possession, and yeah, we'll come on to some of those that were and weren't taken. Let's start with, as we've already touched on, with Lewis Reed. Had the ball in the back of the net 3 minutes into the game from one of the, I think it was the second corner of the game, but it was disallowed for, you had Jack Spong, it looks like he was penalised for a foul on Snedden, the Partick Thistle goalkeeper. It's unbelievably soft. I don't know if this is just black and white tinted specs, but watching the replay back, watching the highlights back, I mean, I've slowed it right down on YouTube. I'm looking at what he's doing. He makes minimal, if any, contact at all with Snedden, in my opinion. I don't know if either you're going to come in and just tell me that I'm talking utter nonsense, but it just looks so soft. He doesn't even have his arms up. He's not, I don't know, he doesn't really make much contact at all. To me, it looks like Snedden completely flaps at it. Wouldn't be the first time, and it wouldn't be the last time in that guy's career that he's completely misjudged across. So I think Partick Thistle have got away with one there, and Lewis Reed is so unlucky not to be given that goal.
Aye, it's pretty telling that you haven't really seen any Thistle fans trying to defend that decision either. The vast majority of them that I've seen comment on it agree with us that there was absolutely nothing wrong with it. And I've spoken to a couple of people, and I've showed it to a couple of people that aren't either Thistle or Queen's Park fans, and they all said the same thing. They can't understand what the referee did. It's almost as if he was just, I don't know, he's decided that it's too early in the game for a goal, so he needs to find an excuse to not give it. Like, why would you do that? I have no idea. He thinks he's seen something. He thinks Spong's pushed the keeper, but he hasn't at all. What's happened is the keeper has made a complete and utter arse of it. He didn't have a good game, I don't think, and it's a shame that we didn't test him a wee bit more, actually, because he did look slightly shaky when he was tested. It was a really frustrating decision, I think.
I honestly think Snedden's one of the worst goalkeepers in the Championship by quite a distance, compared to what I've seen for a lot of other teams. And that was just an example of it. He completely messes it up. He's not good at crosses, and he never has been from ever I've seen him. So it was a shame to get punished for it, because you're right. Like, he just jumps in the air. Keeper makes a hash of it. And because he stumbles and looks at the ref's like, oh, sorry, we must protect you. It's so frustrating. And it's not specific to our game, is it? Let's be honest. Any time a goalie gets touched, they're protected within an inch of their life, which is annoying. Aye. Because it kind of they get away with a lot.
I hate it. I know it's a bit of a kind of, what, I don't know, a bit of a da opinion into the goalies get too much protection these days, but it's absolutely true. Like, you can't even sneeze near a goalkeeper without the referee calling for a foul, and it happens basically every single game you watch. It's just that on this occasion it resulted in a goal being disallowed, but it happens. It really does happen pretty much every week, and it's absolute nonsense. And I don't think, because keepers claim for everything now, and the reason they do is because they know they're probably going to get it, and it takes away a lot for me from any kind of goal mouth action. Because see, when you do score from that kind of scenario, you immediately kind of look across to the referee and goes, is he going to give something bizarre here? I don't really know what the solution for it is on a kind of wider footballing level, because it's as you say, it's not a Scottish football problem. It happens everywhere.
Sometimes even when you don't expect a decision to be given, they get given, as we'll talk about later on in this game as well. The referee, we could talk about the referee in general on that night as well. We try not to do that. I'm sure we'll mention it later on. But yeah, Lewis Reed, very unlucky not to get an early goal and put Queen's Park 1-0 up very, very early on in the game. But the team never let that get to them at all. And, I mean, it's fair to say it's got to be the most dominant we have been in a long time, certainly in the league as well. I mean, obviously, we've had a couple of cup games against wee teams that we've put a few goals past. But in the Championship, we've not played like that this season. I don't think. We were creating so many chances. Rory Payton will be having nightmares still. I hope he's still having nightmares, to be perfectly honest, about the three or four brilliant crosses in that we've been crying out for, I think, for the first quarter of this season. He's not had enough of those where we were expecting him to be the kind of penalty box poacher and tap those in. And we hadn't been creating, not only has he not been doing that, but we hadn't even been creating those chances. On Friday night, Dom Thomas and Tommy Robson going forward were back to their best on the left-hand side. You said earlier on, Calum, but you know, we were finding those balls out to Dom Thomas, starting those moves. Tommy Robson and Thomas running up and down, overlapping, getting these balls in. Rory Payton could have had four or five on the night. He obviously did score as well. He did get the penalty later on in the game. But a word, first of all, to how dominant we were on the game in general, the amount of chances we created. But then, of course, we do have to talk about Payton's misses.
Oh, I know. I felt for him, and then I was just frustrated by him by the end of it, to be honest, because it was three when I watched the highlights back as well, and it was three where he is literally within the 6-yard box, plus or minus a couple of yards, and he just misses the ball each time, like each time the ball's crossed. I mean, we talked about last week, I think I was moaning about it, that we just need to get better at crossing, and like Dom Thomas was firing them in all night. And they were excellent, and he just has to get on the end of one of them. I'm gonna just hope and assume that was just a bit of a freak incident or a freak match from Payton, because he'll be stewing over that. But plus side is the amount of chances that we were creating off the back of it. And finally, I think I have seen what Turner should be doing for this team, because you mentioned that down the left side of the pitch with Robson and Dom Thomas, that the overlaps, etc., they were getting a lot more joy. I'm just convinced that was all because of Turner. Every time Dom Thomas had the ball in the wing or Robson was pushing up the left as well, they were able to form triangles with Turner throughout the whole game. And see, having him in that much more advanced role, it was like, it just made such a difference, because we've touched on this before. Like, we get the ball out wide, we hug the touchline, and then either winger, whether that's the left side or the right side of the pitch, they're just stuck. They've got two guys on them. They don't really get anything useful in. But just having Turner, he seemed to be really, really good at finding the space throughout that game in between Dom Thomas and the penalty box. It just made such a massive, massive difference. And I'm pleased for him, because I think it's been relatively difficult for Turner so far. I don't think he's quite found what his role is. And to me, that was a start of seeing exactly what he should be doing for us.
You're spot on. I thought he was excellent. And I think it's just a case of, like you say, him adjusting and us sort of discovering where he really can be useful on the park. It was definitely, I think that's probably 2 weeks in a row, actually, where we've said that was Turner's best performance. And then, you know, we said that against Airdrie, and then it was probably even better again against Thistle. So that's really positive, especially when you consider that he's a young guy that we have locked down a 3-year contract. You have to hope that he's just going to keep getting better and better and contributing for us. And I totally agree, we were dominant. I think it's just, I mean, I'm not sure I would say we did control the pace of the game for the most part, right? It's important to recognise that we're quite optimistic about this, because we have been relatively poor in, you know, over the past couple of months. But for me, again, it's just a case of that's 2 weeks in a row where we've gotten better and better, and you just need to hope that the team can push on from there and hopefully finally get the 3 points down in there next week. Because I think once that comes, I really think it'll just click. And I think, I actually don't think we're that far away from absolutely pumping somebody. I really think one of these weeks that could happen. And I know that's crazy to say, because we haven't won a league game since, what, mid-August or something like that. But it's just a case of the style of football is now starting to look a bit more coherent. There's a clear urgency about the team when they have the ball. And they look like a much more solid unit. Obviously, yes, as you say, frustrating that Payton probably didn't have at least one or two more. But I'm not worried about him at all. I'm fairly confident. What's he on, 5-6 league goals already? And that's during a spell where we have played quite poorly. I still think you'll realistically hit minimum 13-14 goals in the league. There's a lot of positives to take from this. A lot of frustrations as well that we didn't win, that the goal was disallowed, that the referee was an absolute clown. Yes, however, you just need to have a wee bit of optimism right now, because that was so much better, and it's been getting so much better for a wee while.
That pumping that you're talking about, I mean, that could, and as we say, last point on it, and probably should have came on Friday night there against Partick Thistle with the amount of chances we had. But no, you're right, and is it caveated with, oh, we've been so bad recently that Friday there was so good? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just think in general, the way that we played, maybe, oh God, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe yeah, I didn't, maybe I have to put a word in that that's probably the worst Partick Thistle team, or the worst Partick Thistle performance we've seen probably since coming up to the Championship. I thought they were absolutely all over the shop. I don't really know what was going on with them. I know they had a couple of changes and a couple of injuries and suspensions and stuff, but I didn't think it would really affect them that badly. But yeah, that pumping is coming in. When we go on to talk about the air game, you'd like to think with the run of form we've got, it's going to carry on to this week. But for all that, for all that we were great in the first half, and for all that we created all those chances, we of course went in at half-time 1-0 down, as almost felt typical at the time. It was a penalty for Partick Thistle. You had, was it McEnroy out in the left hand side, and he gets in front of. Let me just double check this. Was it actually? No, it wasn't. Sorry, it was Ben Stanway. I think maybe McEnroy was involved in the pass, but Ben Stanway running into the box with the ball, cuts in front of Louis Longridge, goes down. I said at the time, and I was actually at the game with a couple of friends of mine that were neutrals on the night. And they agreed with me that it looks soft. It's one of those ones where it's definitely a soft penalty, but it's also, unfortunately, definitely a penalty. It's just the way that, as we're talking about with goalkeepers, it's the way modern football is, isn't it? It's one of these ones, if you run into the box, if you run across the defender, you feel that slightest little touch, you're going to go down, you're getting given a penalty. Unfortunately, it was buried. And yeah, we went in 1-0, half-time, you know, not to the good as we should have been, you know. Is there much else to say on that penalty, really? What did you guys make of that?
It was just indicative of our defensive frailties over the last period of time, isn't it? And discipline again, unfortunately. It was just really silly. It just kind of reminded me of the Bannon one against Falkirk. The guy just kind of gets in front of Longridge and he just trips him up. And it's so silly because we've got like four defenders or four guys sitting in the box beside him. So not as if it's like a one-on-one, and obviously Ferry's still there, the guy's at a tough angle, etc. So there's plenty of work to do, so there's no need for it, sadly. But yeah, you can only hope that that's going to become less and less over the next few weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Well, into the second half, we get a penalty of our own. You've got great work getting forward with you know, this pass in football. It's a great through ball from Jack Thompson to Jack Turner, and he goes up against Waziri Williams, who is the sort of backup centre-back for Partick Thistle. He does get a wee turn on him and then goes to take the ball past, and Williams completely clatters him in the shin, takes him out. It's a blatant penalty. There's blatant contact there. And thankfully, Rory Payton, after his misses in the first half, he was given the ball and he makes no mistake. You've got Sneddon jumping about on the goal line. I mean, maybe that works for him, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. It certainly didn't work then, because for all he's jumped to the side, and I think he's pointing to his right-hand side, saying, oh yeah, I'm diving that way. Payton doesn't care. Blasts it straight down the middle. Queen's Park 1-0, back in the game.
I wasn't nervous about Payton taking the penalty, but I was curious to see what he was going to do it, because we haven't seen him take too many, and the one that he did it was against, was that Queen of the South in the League Cup group stages, and obviously he didn't score that day. I don't know if actually typically Payton is a penalty taker. You'd have to imagine so, given his goal scoring record, especially the last season when he was with Queen of the South. But he stepped up confidently, especially for a guy that had missed one or two decent chances in the first half. It's interesting actually, how many penalties have we had this season? Is that only two? We've not had any other ones, have we?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I suppose part of it, that could kind of be a symptom of how we've not been that aggressive in the opposition team's box so far this season. And obviously on Friday night, we definitely were, more so anyway. And if that's kind of something that we are looking to do more moving forward, then you'd imagine we'll find ourselves in positions to be dragged down and for you know, impatient defenders to put daft tackles in. So that's another thing that could really contribute towards Payton's goal total for the rest of this season.
I also think that Williams is not a very good defender. I mean, you said backup defender, David. I think he's the backup to the backup, as opposed to being anywhere near the first choice, which I guess was representative of Thistle's lineup that night, because they had quite a few players in funny positions. But still, I think I've figuring out what point to cover this, but I think we'll cover it now. How did Thistle get through that game without getting a yellow card? It like literally blows my mind, because if you think Longridge got a yellow card for his penalty, Williams somehow doesn't get a yellow card for that. I looked it up, they had 11 fouls throughout the game, including the one at the end of the game where Bannon gets absolutely crippled off their player, and then their player tries to pick him up off the floor because he thinks Bannon's basically talking nonsense. I couldn't understand it. I know that Enzo was about to burst a vein when we were at the game at some point. It was really, really strange.
Well, the thing is, right, it wasn't, like, I'm not saying that they were a dirty team as such. It was just accumulation of so many daft wee fouls here and there, and guys kicking the ball away, and clowns like Brian Graham getting up in the referee's face constantly. And if you don't book somebody, or at least book a couple of them, they're just going to keep doing that. And it's up to the referee to take control of the game under those circumstances. And he didn't do that. I felt he really, really badly struggled with that in particular. They got the penalty decisions right, obviously, and ended up getting their second goal decision right, which we're going to come on to talk about. But just in terms of letting them get away with wee daft things that any other... Because he had a word with them, or I had a word with you, and I had a word with you, and I had a word, but that's not going to fix anything. They're just going to keep doing it until you actually start showing them the card. And it was bizarre. You're right, I was furious at the time, because it didn't make any sense.
We managed to get 3 yellow cards in that game.
And there's no way we were... I'm not necessarily saying that we didn't do anything wrong either, or that we were a team of angels, but there was nothing in that. Like, both teams were doing daft wee things that should have picked up a couple of yellow cards. I just don't know how they get away with that.
I mean, the tackle on Bannon, towards the end of the game, that was the most blatant stonewall yellow card you've ever seen. It was not a good tackle. It was a very sore one for Bannon. You could see exactly what happened. And yet, as you say, again, the referee decided, oh no, I'll just have a wee word with him. But that was after, yes, so much nonsense throughout the game. It's, it was quite incredible on the night how they did not get at least one yellow card. As you say, the referee should have taken control of it sooner, but certainly did not let that happen. However, thankfully, he did step in when the Stanside linesman was trying to disallow Queen's Park's second goal to go 2-1 up on the night. This was the Turner goal, which... This is Veldman ball, Bucher ball, what do you want, what are we going to call it? We need to decide on one of the names. But this starts from Callum Ferry all the way back, taking the goal kick. It was 1-2 to Reid, I think it is. And then he gets the ball to Jack Spong. He's getting pressure behind him, turns the Partick Thistle player and releases, and away we go. And we're attacking up the park. Some more great passes in between. I think Peyton gets the... Does Peyton get the assist? No, it's not. It's Thompson, isn't it? Peyton gets it out to Thompson, whips it across. And then it bounces between Partick Thistle defender and goalkeeper, comes to Jack Turner at the back post, and he smashes it into the back of the net. Now, fuck knows what the linesman's thinking, flagging for that, because you can pause it, you can freeze frame it, and you can see when Thompson hits his cross, I think it may have been a shot that was very wayward because he was hit very hard, but Turner is definitely onside when that is hit. And yet the linesman flags for it for whatever reason. No idea what happens. Thankfully, the referee goes over, has a word with him, makes the right decision. The goal is given. I will say, though, if that's what VAR's like, keep me in the Championship for the rest of my days, because I hate VAR. And that wait, celebrating, and then that pause, especially after Lewis Reed's goal disallowed in the first, early on in the first half, it was like, how many times were we celebrating to be let down, to celebrate to let down again? Thankfully, the right decision was made, though.
Yeah, you've summed it up, David. I genuinely don't understand what he thought he saw. Nothing happened, and unfortunately, the referee realised that he was at it and made the right decision. Speaking of VAR, by the way, I know this is totally off topic, but did either of you watch the Aberdeen game through the week there?
No, I didn't see it.
Not.
Because Aberdeen should have had a stonewall penalty that VAR didn't even look at. It was shocking. Apparently, the referee was that raging that after the game, he burst into the VAR guy's... dressing room, and he was questioning why, because obviously as the referee you're the one that takes the stick for it, and apparently the referee was furious that they hadn't picked up on that during the game, and then obviously they they ended up losing the game with basically the last kick of the ball because of a penalty VAR did choose to give. I have mixed feelings on it. I don't hate it as much as what some people do, but it is a little bit frustrating when you see the inconsistencies and how much it ruins exciting moments in football, I suppose, where you're just waiting to double check that whatever's happened is actually going to stand. I don't know. I'm not sure what I think about it. I certainly wouldn't go so far as to say keep me in the championship so that I can avoid it, though.
Yeah. Maybe that's a slight over-exaggeration, but you know what I mean.
It does take away from it a wee bit. Personally, I'd be quite happy to have it for stuff that can be like whether something's offside, onside, or goal line technology, and then patch the rest of it. But yeah, I mean, if it worked, I could deal with it a lot more, but it doesn't. Like, you're still dealing with the same level of incompetence at the sort of referee level that when they're faced with having to make these decisions, as you can see from stuff like that. So I don't think it would improve. And VAR is probably part of the reason we've got a bunch of, or we seem to have quite often, poor referees making their way down through the, or up through to the championship, because obviously they take away more refs for the SPL or for the Premier League, and then that's having to pull guys up who probably wouldn't be at this level if VAR wasn't a thing. But
100%, yeah.
It was a wild decision. It was a wild decision. And I'm glad that the ref, at least in that instance, overruled him, because it would have been ridiculous to have two perfectly good goals taken off. And it's almost a shame that the goal kind of went in like that, in the way that it did, bouncing off the Thistle player, because the build-up play to that was absolutely fantastic. And it's one of the ones where you can really highlight the benefit of Jack Spong, because he can be a wee bit quiet sometimes, but see, just on the ball in tight situations, he's so, so good at it, at turning his guy and just making that good pass forward. And that just started up the whole play. It was three passes around the defence, then to Spong, and then from there we were able to move up the pitch with it. And if we get more of that, I'll be very happy.
What we want less of, though, is Queen's Park conceding within 30 seconds of kickoff.
Every time.
I genuinely missed this goal on the night, because I was still turning around, bouncing about, celebrating that yes, we've just taken the lead about time and all that. And then I turn round to see Callum Ferry getting a hand on the ball, and it bounced, it just like kind of dribbling over the line. But of course, when you go back and watch on the highlights, you'll see that Partick Thistle take the kick off, and they look to play it out wide quite early. And again, I've seen, you know, Pye and Bovril and stuff. There's maybe some comments about, oh, who's to blame here? Because we love a little bit of a blame game. I personally look at it, and I look and see Tommy Robson coming steaming out a left back, and none of the rest of the defenders are all pushing up. All the midfielders are still in their position where you'd expect them to be. Tommy Robson is the odd man out to me, and you've got the Partick Thistle right back. Is it Ngwenya? It was still in the park at that time, I think. Played in. Open, completely open side of the park, because Tommy Robson's came charging out. He gets the ball, plays it across. Adeloy beats Bannon to it, and yeah, puts just enough power on it that even Ferry can't keep it out. You do see some of the players turning round on the highlights, and I think they're protesting to Dom Thomas as well. I'm not really sure who is to blame. All I know is that it's just another such a soft goal that. Which is, for all that we're getting better going forward, and we showed that on the night there, there's clearly still those issues.
Yeah, and it's almost like a naivety where we've scored and we're playing well and we're keen to get right back into it and maybe get another one as quickly as we possibly can, and that's great, right? But seeing these situations where you're playing against an experienced team like this, I know there's a lot of young boys playing, a lot of guys that maybe wouldn't have otherwise started had it not been for injuries, but see, when you've scored, you've just taken the lead, just take a minute, catch your breath. There's no need to be going daft immediately. Sit back and kind of suss out what their approach is going to be now that they've gone a goal down. I have no, like, maybe Dom Thomas was partially to blame. I can't wrap my head around what Tommy Robson was doing. It doesn't make any sense to me, and it was so, so frustrating, because as you say, this isn't the first time. Probably won't be the last time. But you'd like to think maybe that will talk Tommy Robson a lesson, because he did have such a great game otherwise as well. But that's something that we really desperately need to cut out if we are going to start picking up wins more regularly.
It's just it's individual errors again, isn't it? Which is the thing that's just been killing us more so than anything over the last period of time. And I think when I watched the interview with Veldman afterwards, he touched on it as well. It was basically like just calm down for 2 minutes, like hold the ball, absorb a bit of pressure, whatever it is, but try not to do anything silly. Just get yourselves back into the game again. And unfortunately, we didn't.
No.
No, we didn't
really know where to go from there. It was just
there's not really much you can say about that. MD who saw it knows exactly what we're talking about. It was just so frustrating.
Yeah, it was. You know, Queens again though, like with the early disallowed goal, did try to keep going, and you know, we continued to create chances. I don't really think Callum Ferry had a save as such to make. When you go in the highlights, I think there was one where Brian Graham flashed it right across goal. I think that maybe went out for a throw-in. But aside from that, you had Queen's Park creating all the chances, Payton with another one of his tap-ins, so I think that maybe took him up to four or five on the night. You had chances for Turner, and I'm sure there was a couple others as well. Just couldn't find the back of the net after that, unfortunately, which was such a shame because it was such an improved performance. As we've already said, you know, when you look at Airdrie, yes, we were better against Airdrie and still only got a point, but against Partick Thistle on Friday there was just so much more, like, so much more attacking threat, as Robin Veldman says. There were so many more opportunities created against Partick Thistle that it does, despite still not being a win, and as Enzo said earlier, we haven't won a league game since beating Arbroath back mid-August. It still leaves us coming away from Hampden last week that although you are disappointed about the result, we are optimistic about going ahead now with that performance, aren't we?
You have to be. You have to focus on the positives, otherwise you'll go daft because we've had such a torrid time over the past month and a half, 2 months, that if you come away from that, those two games there, after the Airdrie game, I was disappointed we didn't win. And yes, after the Thistle game, I was disappointed we didn't win that as well. But if you focus on the negatives of those performances, you're just going to be miserable. Focus on the fact that this is a team that is clearly taking steps in the right direction. Now, I think it's probably a bit too early to be getting overly excited about that, but I feel as though we're one win away, or maybe even just a game where we score a few goals away from potentially really turning a corner here.
Yes, I think your point at the start of that is most correct. You'll go nuts if you can't take anything, if you can't take any positivity forward, and that's kind of what I feel. You're looking to these. I mean, we're talking about this game as if we won. We didn't win at all, obviously, no. But it was just such a stark improvement in comparison to what we've seen that you've just got to hope that it continues in that direction. I mean, all the interviews that you see with the players and Veldman himself, they keep talking about this process and it'll come together over time. I'm just hoping that this is starting to come together, because whilst we're in a relatively poor position, well, I mean, we are in a poor position right now, especially with the results at the weekend from teams around us, you just need to string a few wins together in this league and suddenly you'll break away, because you have Dundee United at the top of the table, who, by the looks of things, are going to win every single game this season, perhaps.
Would I?
And then you've got Raith, who are clearly doing really, really well. But aside from that, it's anyone's game. It really is. And I just feel like we're on the cusp of a few victories in a row would just make such a difference going into the Christmas period.
Yeah, because you're right, it's an incredibly close league. I think you're right, Dundee United are 100% going to run away with this division. I know that Wraith look okay, but I think they're ultimately just going to be the best of the rest. And below that, people seem to think that Thistle are definitely going to be up there. I'm not convinced, to be honest with you. I think they're another couple of results away from potentially just sliding away altogether. And you could realistically have eight teams that have absolutely no idea where they're going to be come the end of this season.
Yeah, the league table is still very close, and there's some games going on tonight, so the league table will potentially change again by the time this is published and people are listening to it. But just before we move on from the game to our man of the match and all that, I don't know how you guys felt about it, but it felt like the first sort of proper game back at Hampden. I actually felt it's obviously combined with a good performance on the park, isn't it? Because do we need to keep making the point that the last few weeks and months have been pretty miserable? But a good performance on the park. It just felt like the crowd were definitely a bit more into it. We were certainly helped up the back of Section P2 by a group of Irish boys. Now, Enzo, I'm not 100%. Were they actually pals of Rudy Payton, or were they just saying that? I'm not 100%, but
I mean, if they were just... They seemed to know him quite well, the way they were talking. I got the impression that they came across specifically because they are pals with him.
Yeah, and they had a fair bit of money on him to score at any time in the game, so they were the happiest people in the ground when he finally found the back of the net. Speaking to them, they certainly had a good night. It sounded like they were going out for a, well, after their winnings, they were certainly going out for a very good night in Glasgow. So it was good to have them there and getting involved as well. But just in general, did it feel the same to you? I mean, Enzo, I know you were up the back as well. Did it feel the same to you? It was like, kind of back to obviously the games in December when we first went back to Hampden. It felt like the first proper home game, if you will.
I think it was always going to happen. I know that some people have had some complaints about the experience at Hampden so far. And I get it, right? It's no matter what you do, even 3,000, which is a decent crowd, obviously, is always going to feel a little bit empty because it's a massive stadium. But like I've kind of talked about before, remember back to that game against Hamilton where we played them last year and we beat them 4-0. I thought the atmosphere was really good that day, and it's just going to take the team to put in the performances and the results, and I think everybody's experience is going to be a lot better.
Yeah, you respond to what's on the pitch. You can't just artificially pretend that everyone's buzzing to watch the football when it's objectively bad. Do you know what I mean? And I think we could all see that it was an entertaining game and people got into it. I think it was certainly much, much better than it's been. I still can't help but sort of wistfully think about what that sort of crowd would be like in a fit for purpose lesser. I think the atmosphere would be genuinely tremendous, but it was way better, and hopefully that continues into the next games.
Yeah, 100%. Let's round this off then. Our man of the match for the Partick Thistle draw. Enzo, you first.
This is an interesting one. So I thought it was Jack Thomas that got it on the night, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Jack Thompson, sorry.
He got his bottle of red cola instead of his champagne.
Right, okay, because I thought he was good. But I actually think I'm leaning more towards Dom Thomas rather than Thompson. I think they were both excellent. I think you could probably talk about another couple of guys too. Robson, other than the goal, which probably unfortunately disqualifies him from it, and Turner as well. But I think I'm going to have to go with Dom Thomas.
Callum, I'll let you go now.
So I was choosing between Dom Thomas and Turner as well. I think, who am I going for? I think overall I'd probably go for Dom Thomas because he absolutely terrorised that wing throughout the game. Turner was honestly so, so close in terms of where I would rank them, but Dom Thomas did so much, and his delivery the last game was absolutely fantastic. He did get a few crosses that Peyton should have been on the end of, and it was just a much improved performance. I mean, we know that Dom Thomas, when he's on it, is one of the best players in the league, and that felt like the sort of Dom Thomas that we need to be seeing week in, week out, so I'll go for him.
Fair enough. I should have gone before you then, because I was going to give my vote to Jack Turner. I thought he had an excellent game. Certainly Dom Thomas is, as you say, for your decision with Turner, he's right up there. Again, for me, Dom Thomas is a very close second there. Thought Spong had another good game as well. Unfortunately, Robson did have a good game, but when I look back at the Partick Thistle equalise, unfortunately, that discounts him. But yes, there we go then. So our man of the match for the Partick Thistle game was Dom Thomas. So that will do that game. Now, our news roundup that we always do is pretty quiet this week, because when we look at other results for other Queen's Park teams, well, there was only today, this afternoon, actually, it was the City of Glasgow Cup, which goes on every year between the Glasgow teams. Young QP lost 4-0 to Rangers, so we don't really want to mention that again. I suppose the only other point to mention in that is that apparently that is where Barry Hepburn's serving the second of his 2-game suspension for the red card against Airdrie. So if that is indeed correct, I do have my doubts still, but if that is actually correct, then he will be available for this weekend against Ayr. So I suppose it's worthwhile in that regard. But yeah, aside for that, that's the only other result. The women had a weekend off. They're back in action this weekend. The supporters team also had a weekend off because we were supposed to play Hibs, but they pulled out. So we've got a wee Saturday doubleheader. We've got Ayr in the morning and then obviously going to the game in the afternoon. So that'll be a good day out for me. Hopefully I can still see by kickoff, but you never know what happens when you're out with the supporters team. But yeah, a wee doubleheader to look forward to this weekend. The only other real news roundup, as I said right at the very beginning, it felt like the last couple of weeks there was Queen's Park were being mentioned here and everywhere, with Bucher being linked to a director of football role at Ajax, but that seems to have gone quiet just as quickly as it started getting very loud. So we'll wait and see what, if anything, comes of that. But yeah, the only other news was the Scottish Cup third round draw. We come in at the third round. There was some cracking results in the second round. A good lot of junior non-league teams getting through, and some league teams getting, I look at Genefield Swifts beating Elgin. Was that finished 6-0? Was that? I'm sure it was.
And 6 it was, yeah.
6-0. You had Dunbar United beating East Fife. I'm sure that, who was it Dunbarton were playing? They came really close.
Banks of D. And they ended up winning. I think they scored 3 goals in the last injury time, basically.
I'm sure it was like 90 plus 12, I've seen, or something like that.
Michael Roof, by the way, former Queens player, if you remember him. Yep. Scored two of them, I believe.
See the one that was at Falkirk as well?
He was, yeah. Remember Aberdeen signed him from us during that period where people would just snatch up any youth player that looked as though they had any ability whatsoever?
So there were some good results elsewhere. So we were very, very excited looking to the Scottish Cup draw on Sunday evening there, wondering who we could possibly get. Even some of the weird teams that we're used to going to, go back there, or, one of these non-league teams that's in the third round. It's Partick Thistle. So one of the teams that we play four times a season already, and another one we're away to there, back to Far Hill, weekend of the 25th of November. We'll wait and see if that may potentially be picked up for the TV. You obviously have another Fife derby with Dunfermline and Raith Rovers, so you think that may get picked up. That probably might be the number one choice, but there's every chance that the Queen's Park game may get moved for the TV as well. But currently, it'll be the Saturday the 25th of November. such a shame, isn't it? Because years gone by, that would have been a class away day. But see now, I'm not going to say I'm sick of it. I still enjoy that away day. But compared to what was on offer, I mean, we were all gutted.
I mean, the only way that could have been worse if it was Thistle at home. Really, when you look at the teams that we could have potentially got, imagine we'd got Cumnock away or Pollock away. I'd love to get Pollock away. Or as you say, some of the teams that we've not played in a wee while, like Albion Rovers away, I'd have been totally fine with that. And it's just, we're going to Far Hill, a place we've been to probably about 30-odd times in the past 2 years or something like that.
Yeah, especially playing there in League One. I will say to you, it could have been worse because apparently in the, they always do a dummy draw before the cameras roll just to make sure everything's working right. Allegedly, we were drawn away to Airdrie in the dummy draw. So we might actually have got away with one in that regard. But it's still a good away day. The only problem is that Partick Thistle will be a test when you obviously look at, as I say, it's just what could have been, isn't it? It's such a shame, but there we go.
There's still some of these wee teams have winnable ties in the next round as well, so we'll just need to beat Thistle and get them then instead, or potentially, I suppose, at a big, because the next round after, that's when the Premiership teams come into it, so beat Thistle and then get Genefield Swifts away when they beat Clyde, or potentially something like Hearts or Hibs away, which I'd be all right with. We're not going to win, but a day out in Edinburgh and then a wee trip to Easter Road or something, that'd be all right too. So just let's get past Thistle and hopefully we'll get a bit of luck next time.
I think Thistle are arguably more annoyed about this than us, because I was reading up on, I seen someone posting on Twitter, and their record for cup draws is absolutely atrocious. Like they do genuinely get a bunch of awful, awful draws, teams in their own division, etc. Nothing that is particularly interesting. But I'm feeling a wee bit Airdrie towards Thistle these days, probably because we've not had a good record recently against them. That obviously doesn't help towards it at all. I think genuinely, I would have probably rather have played Airdrie, because in my head, I think that would be more chance of a win, because I'm desperate for a cup run. I really would love it. I've never really seen it, to be honest. So if we did have any form of run, it'd be great to witness. I'd love to take a proper scalp at some point.
I never thought I would have seen the day where I would have preferred to get Airdrie away than Thistle away in a cup draw. But I actually agree with it.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, our record against Thistle recently has been rubbish, hasn't it? I mean, obviously we started last season, I think did we win the first three league games? We won the first three, and then they beat us, and then obviously they kind of flung us about in the playoffs, didn't they? So, and then lost the first one at Far Hill this season, 3-1. So, yeah, not been a great run against them recently, but we'll see if we can rectify that at the end of November. Well, I suppose the only other thing to do with a news roundup, we'll usually go through the results from the weekend. So let's do that and obviously look at what we think is going to happen in, as we sit here recording, in approximately an hour's time or so when the Halloween's Championship fixtures kick off. So at the weekend just there, you also had Dundee United on Friday night for their centenary game that they were doing. They absolutely destroyed Arbroath 6-0. We've already said, I think everybody predicted it to begin the season. Dundee United will finish first. They look like they're finally up to speed. And yeah, let them go away. Let them take first place, which is where that team, that squad, probably should be. And the rest of us will fight out amongst ourselves. Raith Rovers with a late winner against Dunfermline in that Fife derby, that one at Starks Park. Inverness beating Airdrie 1-0. Morton beating Ayr at Somerset 1-0 as well. I think, I don't know how late the goal was again for Morton.
I believe it was injury time, wasn't it?
Not quite. I've just looked up 87th minute. So okay, a late one for them. Oh, look at that. Four yellow cards for Morton. What a surprise. But the Inverness game, obviously, people are going to keep talking about the Duncan Ferguson effect. But I spoke to you guys earlier on today, or was it yesterday? Sent you a video of that goal. Such a terrible goal that Inverness scored, and unbelievably that was enough for them to get the points there. But I'm still not convinced by Duncan Ferguson, no matter how many 35 plus year old players he wants to, free agents he wants to sign. But David Wallace been off to a good start for them there, eh?
Yeah, it was honking defending though, as you say. I mean, I think I could have probably scored in a situation like that where you have all these defenders just utterly standing off you. I mean, he took it well, but I don't think there's many guys playing at this level who wouldn't have scored from that. Nothing particularly surprising there. Expected United to pump Arbroath. I thought maybe Dunfermline Raith would have been a draw. I think I said that on here last week. I was pretty close to that actually happening. Raith just seemed to be, they seem to get a lot of late goals and a lot of kind of comeback wins, and I suppose that's a testament to their character. Maybe a wee bit surprised that Morton got that late winner. I think it was George Oakley, wasn't it, against Ayr? But
yeah,
maybe shouldn't be again, because Ayr's home form hasn't been good. It's not been good to start this season. I don't think it was very good to end last season as well, and you've got to hope that we can be the next team to take advantage of that.
Yeah, the series of results was maybe just about as bad as it could have been for us. If Dunfermline had managed to win against Raith, that would have been even worse. But it was less than ideal. And just talking about Raith, we've mentioned this a few times. It's their depth again. They bring on Dylan Easton. He gets the assist for the goal. I mean, I feel like every week we talk about the substitutions that they make in the last third of the game, and then they end up having some sort of impact. We've seen it against us as well, obviously. So I think they will continue to do well if that trend continues. Dundee United are just like hilarious, aren't they? I mean, they scored 28 goals, 4 goals against, which, I mean, you should expect when you look at their defence. It is very decent. For the rest of the results, it's just frustrating with Morton, because I was really, I mean, I still am hoping that somebody gets properly, that isn't us, gets properly lambasted to the bottom of the league, just leaves us a wee bit of a buffer. But as it stands, if Morton and Inverness win their games in hand, then similar to Dunfermline as well, then it's us that are bottom of the league, unfortunately. So yeah, we just need to
just remember that the one of those games in hand is Inverness versus Morton. So
oh, is it?
That,
okay,
there
cool.
is that. So, but yeah, no, you are right. Obviously, with Queen's Park having played 11 games now, and there are a few games on tonight. You've got Airdrie against Dundee United, Morton against Raith, Partick Thistle against Ayr. I think that'll bring everybody up to 10 games played, apart from Inverness. It's a bit weird now how the games are falling, but yeah, Queen's Park with 11 games played. We've played the most so far in the league. Currently sitting joint, we'll call it joint fifth place. Arbroath and Ayr also on 12 points, but Arbroath have currently played 9 games. Ayr have played 10. So yeah, the table isn't making for great reading right now. But I mean, I did look back to where we were after 11 games played last year. We were better off in points. We did have 17 points, but we were only one place better off in the league. We were only in sixth place with 17 points. We're currently seventh place, 12 points. You know, you're looking at the transfers in and transfers out, a new manager coming in, changing the way that we're playing and everything like that. Yes, it's been rough, but I'm clutching too much at that straw of, well, it has been better the last 2 weeks. I just hope I'm not setting myself up for a fall this Saturday.
I don't think there's any need to focus too much on that at this stage. I think we just need to worry about ourselves and everything else will fall into place. Somebody will fall away. Somebody will go on a really, really terrible run, somebody other than us. We're just fortunate that we picked up a few wins prior to that actually happening. But, I get it. I get the concerns. But at this stage, it's too early to be looking backwards. Let's just focus on picking up a few points, because as you say, we could potentially end up bottom of the league over the next couple of weeks, just depending on results, but we could also very easily end up third in the league if we start picking up wins, because it is, you know, that pack behind Rafe and Dundee United is so tight.
It will,
and it'll get better this Saturday when we make the trip to Somerset Park to take on Ayr United. So first things first, still obviously spaces on the supporters bus for that. We'll be leaving, so actually the bus is running the opposite way, of course, with it going southwest? I had to get my north, south, east, west in front of me. Southwest, so it starts at the wee Tesco at Hampden at midday, and then it'll pick up at Clarkston at 12:15. £8 for adults and a tenner for adult and child, so you can obviously still book that online. The website is Queen's Park Online Shop. .co.uk, or of course, I'm sure if you've been on the bus before, you may well have Dougie, the bus convener's number. I'm sure he'll love me to. I'm not going to give your number out, Dougie, don't worry, but I'm sure he'd love it if everybody texted him the request instead, so you could definitely do that as well, I'm sure. But yeah, the trip to Ayr on Saturday. So Enzo rightly points out that Ayr's current home form is absolutely shocking. They've played 5 home games so far this season, just the 1 win, 4 defeats, 2 goals scored in those 5 games, so they are really not enjoying playing at home. Queen's Park obviously going there on the back of 2 good performances, not the results we want, but certainly against Partick Thistle, not the result that we perhaps deserved. So, Callum, come to you first. When it comes to this Saturday, obviously we had the starting lineup against Partick Thistle, obviously we had Jarrett coming in, you had Lewis Reid obviously making his first start. Would you be going with the same lineup? Is there anything you would look to perhaps change against Ayr? What are you perhaps? Do you have any concerns going into the Ayr game?
I've got concerns going into every game, but as far as the lineup goes, I think for me, I would be more than content to see McPherson back in potentially, because I just thought he had a really good game before in the game prior, and I thought he was a wee bit unfortunate to not play that game. Same sense, Longridge has been fine as well. So I think they are relatively interchangeable. But for me, I'd be trying to let McPherson kick on for now. Centre-backs, no change at all. I think Bannon and Reid have earned another game. Obviously, you want them to be consistent, which I guess is what we'll see over time. But hopefully they continue to play well. So they definitely can't be taken out. And then I guess the only other real question mark is what you do with Jarrett. So if Hepburn's still available, or if Hepburn is available after his suspension, do you take him out or do you take Jarrett out and put Hepburn back in? That's the one that I'm most stuck on, to be honest, because I thought Jarrett played well without being outstanding, but it did feel like there was a notable difference on the corners, which some games obviously is very relevant, like the Thistle game where we had plenty of them. Other games you might not get as much. So there's a decision point there. I think if I had to make the decision, I would probably be going for Hepburn instead of Jarrett overall, because I feel like Hepburn has that wee bit of X factor around him that could produce something special. And I think aside from that, the rest of the team really picks itself.
I mean, I agree with most of what you're saying, Callum. The only thing where I maybe slightly different opinion is that I would be tempted to leave Hepburn on the bench purely because I think he's a good option to bring on, and we don't really have too many of them right now. I know that kind of maybe speaks to the lack of depth in the squad, I suppose, but with Jarrett having played well against Thistle, Hepburn having had a wee bit of a break, I suppose, I would like to see him as a bit of a potential game changer as the game goes on.
Yeah, we don't have an awful lot of those really on the bench, the kind of players. Well, certainly there's a lot of young players that we're yet to see enough of to know what they can perhaps provide. But Barry Hepburn, you suppose you know what he's going to get if he comes on off the bench. So I think I'm looking to probably go with the same 11, to be perfectly honest. The way that we played, I'm more than happy with that. And I mean, Ayer, obviously there was the game at Hampden back in September, which still baffles me how that game kind of went about. They scored every single shot they had on goal, and the defending that we had that day was, you know, absolutely horrendous. That's not going to happen again. So therefore, I'm quite happy, especially it's not going to happen again with Reid and Bannon at the back. I've got a lot of confidence in those two young boys starting at centre-back. So I don't really have, as well, I'm trying to think of like the Ayr team. I mean, obviously you get Jamie Murphy. I mean, I'm assuming he's still fit and he's not injured again. Has McGeady been playing recently? Does either of you know?
I don't think so. I seem to think, like, I think I would remember seeing videos or photos of McGeady playing at this level. I think that would make me laugh for some reason. So I just feel like I would know. So I'm going to assume he probably hasn't, but I'll have a wee look afterwards because I'm curious about that.
No, I've just had a look actually. Flash scores last six games, not in the squad. So I'm going to assume he is indeed injured. So that's signing going about as well as everybody expected there. Jamie Murphy has been playing recently. He's not scored since the last game against us. So I mean, Jamie Murphy's definitely the one to watch out for. I'm not overly concerned. I'm not overly worried about any other players apart from Charlie Albinson, who is one of the best goalkeepers in the league. He's certainly up top, probably top three, well, top four, because of course we've got two, so I would say top four. You got to expect him to be on his games, so we certainly hope that the team and Rooney Payton's been practicing those crosses and he's been working on his first touch finishing, and we won't have anything to worry about. So with that then, we shall go and do our score predictions for the Ayr game. Callum, hang on a minute now. You were brought on the table and you've got your Payton first goal scorer joker.
No, to keep it interesting, because it might benefit the new loser of the group.
Oh, so, I wonder who that is.
No, it's all right, David. We're joint losers. Okay, so I had 2-1 Queens, David had 2-0, Enzo had 3-1, so obviously nothing there. I had Payton and Thompson. David had Thomas and Payton, Enzo had Turner, Payton, Robson. So I get 2 points for first goal scorer. None of us got the correct two scorers, unfortunately. So yeah, that puts us points-wise, it evens up a wee bit. So I'm on 11, David's also on 11, and Enzo is on 13. So since I'm nice and I made up this rule, David, you can go first this week.
All right, then. 3-0 Queen's Park. This will be the week where it really goes, and I just look at their home form, I look at their squad, I'm sure this will come back and bite me, but I just don't see anything in their lineup right now to be scared of. We've said it, I don't know how many times, that last year they were Akinyemi and Co, and without him, they're just nothing right now. So yeah, to give me 3-0 to Queen's Park against Ayr. I feel like I have to say Payton first goal scorer.
I mean,
if you don't, Callum's gonna don't give him that opportunity.
Exactly. So you know what? I'm gonna have to see
all those chances he missed, David.
I know. Are you gonna try and talk me of it? No, exactly. He's gonna be working on that all week. It's gonna be Payton first goal scorer. Jack Turner's gonna score again, and I'm gonna see Dom Thomas score.
All right, cool. Me next. I'm gonna go for 2-0 Queens. And
that's what I wanted.
Well, gone. Stop being at the top of the table. I will have Turner as the first goal scorer. I think he will play in that sort of attack-minded position again, and he'll get in a good bit of space. And for the second goal scorer, I am going to go for Dom Thomas. Enzo?
I mean, I wanted 2-0, so I'm just going to have to go with 4-1. I suppose it's not going to be. Not. I don't want 3-0. I don't want 3-1. That doesn't work for me. So I'm going to go 4-1.
The natural progression from 2-0. Yeah,
two from Payton, who obviously isn't going to be the first goal scorer because I can't have that. Do you know what? Actually, no. I'm going to go with Payton hat trick, but he's not going to score the first goal. The first goal will be scored by Reid, Lewis Reid.
Ooh, okay. Peyton hat trick. You've had plenty of Peyton doubles. Oh, no, wait. This is your second Peyton hat trick. So, yeah.
So elsewhere in the league this weekend, so you've got a Friday night game. We have Morton against Dunfermline on the BBC. And then into Saturday, of course, you've got Ayr Queen's Park, but you also have Arbroath against Partick Thistle, Raith against Airdrie, Dundee United against Inverness. Suppose really looking at the league table, you're maybe expecting Arbroath Partick Thistle to be the closest game there, I think.
More Dunfermline potentially as well. There's not really much in that.
Yeah, that's true, but I just can't see myself giving Morton any credit for anything. So Dunfermline win, nice and easy. Arbroath Partick Thistle could be close, especially, as I say, if Partick Thistle play the way they did last week against Arbroath, they could potentially struggle. And, well, Dundee United and Raith, I think we just predict them to win most, if not, well, certainly all the games for Dundee United, and Raith will probably... It's just the current run of form they're on now. I expect them to be doing pretty well for the rest of the year also. What do you guys make the round of fixtures? You get anything else? Andrew, you must have... You're going to have to start coming up with a wee... Are you going to come in with a Duncan Ferguson point at Tannadice?
No, I think United will probably pump them and bring him back down to earth a wee bit, to be honest with you. I can't see anything else there. I just think United are too strong. I know that Inverness have picked things up pretty dramatically since he came in, but I'm not expecting that, no. I could see Dunfermline versus Morton being a... Hopefully that's a really boring nothing each draw or something like that. I know it's on the telly, but I don't want either set of fans to really be taking too much pleasure from that. And a draw would probably be the best result for us if we are being cautious about looking over our shoulders, which I don't want us to be doing, but... You know, it can't hurt. I could see Arbroath beating Thistle. I don't think neither of them are playing that well right now. So it's I actually think, honestly, the most interesting fixture is probably ours.
Yeah, I hadn't actually clocked that Morton are playing tonight and on Friday, which is a sort of relatively short turnaround time. So. Yeah, for me, it's the one that sticks out is Arbroath Thistle. I think Arbroath could beat Partick Thistle if Thistle are still kicking about with the same injury list, because Arbroath play a bit more of a direct style of football than we do, and I think, see, if you're just firing balls on top of their centre-backs and their full-backs as well, I think you might have a wee bit of joy. Aside from that, Dundee United will beat Inverness. We'll beat Ayr. Let's go confident on that. And I think Raith will dispatch of Airdrie, so... Aye, fingers crossed that it goes in our favour this week.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we have tonight's fixtures and it's this Saturday coming, this weekend, that we'll keep an eye out on all them. And yeah, fingers crossed, not only do the rest of them fall our way, but the most important one, 3 points for the Spiders at Somerset Park on Saturday. So that'll do us for another week. Callum and Enzo, it has been a pleasure as always. Continue to find us on Twitter at Spiders Talk Pod. And on Pie and Bovril, and all the threads relating to Queen's Park. We thank you once again for continuing to listen to us every week, and we will see you all again next week.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. The Derby Council at Dendy, play for the sake of the game. Play for the sake of the game.